Yes, greetings to you all in the precious name of Jesus. As I had shared on yesterday's devotional, I had a desire to share a bit on some of my studies that I was finding. I actually came across a testimony that was written by Martin Luther. And the point of sharing this is not to, not to cast any judgment on anyone, but it is simply to use an example to bring to awareness what I believe is some of the things that have crept into our thinking. Crept into our doctrine, if you will, and so the theme, of course, with what I was sharing this week was on believing that the life of Jesus is for us today and is the norm for us to live by. I came across this testimony of Martin Luther. And he was sharing how he became born again. And it said that he found himself, the more he tried, the more he failed. It almost seemed like it was a testimony similar to that of, I think it's Romans 7, where it talks about the things that I desire not to do, that I do. And the things that I don't want to do, that I do. The things I'm trying to avoid, the sins that I'm trying to avoid, I just find myself doing them. And the things that I'd like to do, good things that I'd like to do, I just can't. It just seems somehow I just don't get them done. And that's what Romans 7 is talking about, and that's what Martin Luther was experiencing. And then it says that when he read in Scripture, I think it's in Ephesians 2:8 maybe, where it talks about, I just want to turn to that, Ephesians 2:8 talks about, for by are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so it seemed like that what Martin Luther experience there is all of a sudden he saw that it's not about trying so hard. It's already Jesus has done all of that for me. And so what Martin Luther experienced all of a sudden is he decided, or he realized in what he felt the gospel was teaching, is that I don't have to do it. Jesus did it for me. I don't have to fight this battle this way. I don't have to exhaust myself by trying to do good and by trying to avoid evil, because Jesus did it for me. And that realization coming on him, he just relaxed and he just stopped fighting. And in that way, he found relief from this pressure that he was experiencing. He was experiencing all this pressure to try to do good and to try to avoid evil and not accomplishing it and just every day being defeated. And so finally he realized that Jesus did that for me. And now I'm free. I don't have to do it. And so through that, that load lifted off of his shoulders. And that is in many ways, that is actually, there's such a fine line in that versus the true gospel. What basically Martin Luther was experiencing is he just left go. He just became like irresponsible, and he just decided, I'm not going to strive anymore. And I don't know if Martin Luther's life changed at that point or not. I don't know if he would actually have a testimony where he had more power or not. I'm not sure. But it doesn't seem to me, in observing Martin Luther's life, that he possessed what you read about in the Anabaptists. And one of the key factors is that he ended up being one of the ones that persecuted the Anabaptists, maybe not quite as much as Zwingli. I think I would have a little bit more respect for Martin Luther than for Zwingli. Zwingli actually persecuted the Anabaptists severely and ended up dying in battle against the Catholics. And so I want to be careful how I portray Martin Luther, but the reason I pointed that out is it stuck out to me so much that we hear that a lot today. We read scriptures like Ephesians 2:8, and we tend to isolate scriptures like that, and we tend to believe that it's all through faith. Just believe that Jesus did it for you. You don't have to do anything. And in many ways, the gospel is like that at the end of the day, but much more so, the gospel is embracing Jesus. It's in receiving Jesus. It's in letting go of my life and lining up and believing that the life that God demonstrated through his Son is the life that God wants to demonstrate through me. And to believe that God will do through me what he did through Jesus, and to embrace that as Christianity. I believe that's what it means to believe in Jesus. All throughout the Gospels you will hear a lot about believing in Jesus. And especially in the epistles. And so if you read on here in Ephesians 2, after 8, it says, not of works lest any man should boast. His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So after salvation, we become his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It's like we become Jesus' workmanship, and Jesus Christ is created in us. It's like he blends into us and we become like him. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I think that's a bit different, and that's probably an understatement. I think it's majorly different than just kind of letting go and no longer assuming any responsibility in this battle between good and evil. And I think both would bear fruit. Both would bear fruit of peace, because this battle between of trying to strive to do good and not being able to do it is no fun thing for anyone. But I think there's a big difference between just letting go and sitting down, so to speak, than to make a transfer from striving to do it yourself to just embracing Jesus Christ. And through embracing Jesus Christ, we then find that God shows up and he actually empowers us. And Jesus says, okay, if you're going to embrace me, I'm going to step in and do it for you. And he steps in, and we find this transformation going on in our heart, and it's actually a work of God. And what our part in it is just to surrender us to Jesus Christ. It's just to surrender, just to embrace and acknowledge that this is the kind of life that God will lead me into. And I think that's part of counting the cost as we stand and as we gaze, as we read the Gospels and we gaze at the life of Jesus Christ. And as we stand on that brink of salvation, on that threshold, to realize that this is the land of milk and honey that God wants to bring us in. There's going to be plenty of giants. There's going to be a wilderness experience. He's going to take us out of Egypt. He's going to apply his blood. We're going to walk through baptism. We're going to experience the wilderness. There he's going to change our way of thinking. That's the purpose of the wilderness. It changes our way of thinking. It prepares us. It delivers us from the thinking of Egypt. In Egypt, we were bond servants and slaves. Now the wilderness is to get rid of that mentality of us being slaves. We're now sons of God, and it takes that wilderness experience to transform us a little bit like a caterpillar. The wilderness is the cocoon experience. And in there, we become neutral. We have to be neutralized. We have to, all the things of Egypt, the old habits, the patterns in life have to be dissolved. And God is preparing us to for another crossing. And that crossing is the crossing of Jordan into the land which flows with milk and honey. And I believe that that is the true gospel, the true Christianity. And I think that that wilderness experience can vary in believers' lives, but I don't, you know, for the children of Israel, it could have been 15 months, but it ended up being 41 years. And I think it was 15 months from the time they left Egypt to when the first spies were sent over, when God said, it's ready to go now. And then there was that rebellion of unbelief. So I am burdened that there's a lot of Christians who are just wandering around in the wilderness and are not receiving the life of Jesus Christ in, or believing in it, and have a false sense of salvation. So may the Lord open our eyes and our ears, and may he breathe revival, breathe his spirit upon us afresh. That is my prayer for all of us and all of the believers, especially here in America, is that there would be an awakening and an embracing of this kind of Christianity, where we would walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We would not be afraid to cross the Jordan. And we could experience what the early church experienced in bringing salvation to many, and that the glory of God would come down on the earth once again. May the Lord richly bless you.